Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. It's myself and Andrea Cleary here talking about music things. How are you, Andrea?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So on today's show, we have a special guest, a very special guest who is breathing in rarefied air in terms of radio. There's no dead air here because Kina Creavon is the radio DJ who has been behind Antay of Tuhul since 1999 on Orna G. His reputation has grown over the 25 years of doing this show to the point where people like Gruff Riss from Superfree Animals have said they've tuned in, and there's people all over the world who his reputation has grown. It's an alternative new music show that he's been running 5 nights a week, as he mentions in our chat, actually, with some guests as well, or guest presenters. But now he does it all himself. And it airs, Antay of Tuhul is the name of the show. It airs every Monday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. and Tuesday to Friday from 10 p.m. to midnight. And this man is probably one of the most consistent radio DJ. He is an institution. And we are giving him his flowers, I guess, while he's celebrating 25 years. And as part of the 25 year celebration, Kian is doing a number of things around his show. He's having a celebration week on Monday 29th of April to Friday 3rd of May, and the show will feature all exclusive new music previously unreleased and unheard outside of the musician studios that he plays a lot. We're talking about artists from home abroad, from the Hardway Brothers to Colleen, Blamhouse, Mel, Joanne, Carl Stone, TR1, Dean Kecht, the Gibraltarians, Peter Gordon, and The Shen, among others. So if you know what Kian does on his show, you'll maybe be aware of some of those artists. If you're not, now is the perfect time to tune in, because like, this man is a institution for me. He's somebody I look up to in terms of new music discovery still, and I've been doing it nearly as long as he has. But yeah, as we talk to Kian, it's very obvious that his love of music has remained throughout as well. And he's like, still, he's a wedding DJ, alternative wedding DJ. His club nights now are called Disco Donna, since that were started up since the pandemic. So there's a couple of those coming up in May, and Hen's Teeth in May, Friday 31st of May, and then in Galway as well, where Kian is based. Kian is originally from West Kerry. There's loads of, actually, we talk about this in the chat as well, there's a couple of things that Kian, I always like asking Kian who are his top tracks of the year, and every year he gives me too many songs and ignores the rules and stuff like that. But there's also, he did a lovely piece in 2017 about tapes, how he used to play tapes and stuff like that back in West Kerry and Dingle and where he's from. So he's an archivist in lots of ways. His Antay of Tuhul show has been archived for the last, I think, since you can go back to 2013 and listen to his shows. So there's a serious amount of listening to be done there, and or to dip into, which you can do. So yeah, that's Kina Creavon. So we're going to chat to him now, and would be worth mentioning, of course, we're supporting Kian in his endeavors for his long-term career, that the people that like him are rare. They're so rare to be doing it. I feel lucky to be able to do what I do, and part of that is the Patreon support that listeners and readers like yourself give to us. So if you do want to throw us a fiver a month, maybe, or thereabouts, you can support us on patreon.com/909. You can see all the perks, all the business, all the things that we offer as a result in return. It's always worth mentioning. So let's have a chat with Kian. Kian,
how's it going?
How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Good. Thanks for joining us on this podcast episode where we want to talk about you, actually. You know, you're celebrating a big milestone this year, in the next couple of weeks especially. 25 years of your Antay of Tuhul radio show. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about celebrating? I mean, it's good you're celebrating, because a lot of people don't celebrate their birthdays. You are celebrating. It is an achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there have been other milestones over the years, the 10 and the 20, but I didn't pay as much attention to them, I don't think, as I did to this. We did celebrate, but yeah. This one is kind of happy, sad. It's kind of, you know, to have made it this far is a massive achievement, to have survived in the broadcasting world, but just to have survived in general, because I've just been thinking the last couple of weeks of the amount of people who've passed away in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Some people I knew, people I worked with, particularly Ronan McGavey, who used to host on Taobh Tuathail with me in the very early days.
Oh, yeah.
He passed away, sadly, last September. And a lot of musicians that I played on the show over the years, you know, just people who I took for granted that would always be around sending me music, and maybe not necessarily well-known people, but people like Myra Calix, who I had a relationship with by email, who used to send me, messages to say thanks for her airplay, even though she was making music for a long, long time and I admired her. She still got excited about being played on the radio. Or someone like Susumu Yokota in Japan, who I used to play a lot on the air. He passed away. Or maybe slightly more well-known names like Ryuichi Sakamoto. So I've been thinking of the dead and thinking of how they will probably, they'll live on through their own music, but they'll also live on through future plays on the show as well.
Yeah, that's that's a morbid place to start, I guess, but still, it is important to acknowledge that as well.
Happens when you're acknowledging milestones like 25 years, you know,
it's a long time.
A quarter of a century, yeah.
Yes, exactly. But you personally, how are you feeling about it? Centering yourself in it for a moment.
I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how the shows work out on anniversary week, because I've been working on this since May of last year, and I've been working solo, and a lot of it is just admin work, which is basically emails and promising musicians to take part, of which I would say maybe 90-95% came back to me with something, and the others only didn't come back because they were working on something else. So it's kind of a nice time to reflect, and also a nice time to do podcasts such as this, because, you know, if you're around for a long time in the music business, nobody really cares about a band's 8th or 9th album when it comes out. But, you know, everyone's looking for the latest new thing, and it's quite disposable. So to be kind of celebrating from a position of longevity is great, but also for just doing what I'm calling the kind of campaign round. I've got a busy enough week. It's just a great opportunity to, I know there'll be somebody listening to this right now who has never heard of the show before and will probably be tuning in afterwards. So I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. So you're still hungry, is what you're saying. In a way.
Yeah. I used to fear this whole thing that when people got into their 40s or got older, that just that the interest would naturally, I just thought it was something that people went through, that they would never, the joy of discovering new music would go away. But thankfully it hasn't. I was, even in my 20s, I didn't really think it would for me, but you just never know.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about that a lot, obviously. Like, you know, I'm 18 years doing this, and this year, and I'm like, well, maybe at some point. I think about this a lot, actually, because I was like, what is it? You know, the audience for new music, especially the brand new music, can change so quickly, and you know, it gets younger, and then you're like, am I going to be out of touch? Like, you do worry about these things in a way. You're like, do I have a purpose? Do I have a function? If, like, I essentially write about new music, and then, like, the new music, they change what new music is, and I'm like shouting into the void in the future. Like, it's like, oh well, it's just like one of those things you think about. You're like, because then everyone's tastes change. Like, I think that's what I always thought, that I would be, you know, I'd hope that I wouldn't like get so jaded I just like wouldn't be interested in new music anymore, but I'm still excited by music. But I mean, I can see it in my peer group as well. Like, there's definitely people, you know, you have families and whatever, and, you know, you just don't really keep up with things. And then you're like, I don't really listen to anything new. I haven't heard anything. And then you have your like people who start talking about the Fontaines as a new band, even though they're on their fourth album this year. And you're like, wow, you really used to like be into drum and bass and all this mad stuff now. And now you're talking to me about the Fontaines as if they're a brand new band. You know, it's like, why does that happen? Why does that happen with music? I don't know. It's kind of a youth culture thing, I think. Maybe it's an overhang of that, like the kind of older idea of that.
I think it's a gatekeeper thing, maybe.
You think?
A gatekeeper kind of thing, in that like music for young people should belong to young people. And, you know, when we were in our 20s, we would have looked up at, you know, older writers writing for the Irish Times and stuff that are our age now, as maybe, are these guys dinosaurs? Are these guys past it? We need to react against what they're writing about and find something else.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing that now in terms of, like, I've talked about this a lot in terms of the club landscape at the moment and how it's gone since the pandemic. It's gone super fast and like heavy techno and like ultra fast BPMs all over the shop. There's no such thing as a warm up set kind of thing. And the cultural changes happened so quickly, and especially after something like the pandemic, where like a lot of people in terms of their cultural interests almost were wiped out, and then that happens and you're like, wow, okay, well, all these people used to go out don't go out anymore, and like they're not interested in the same things, and then the void is filled by, you know, it's like the decorum of a warm-up set. I often think about as a DJ, for example, is like, you know, serving the night and serving the crowd, where you hear so much now that what DJs are doing there is going in and lashing it out from the off, you know what I mean, like the subtlety of, or the understanding and nuance of like a warm up of a night that brings it up. And I guess in terms of your show as well, you've kind of always done that, really, haven't you? Like with your, like you do so many shows a week, and your earlier shows in the week are kind of a bit more relaxed, a bit more vibey, and then you kind of do tend to amp it up towards the end of the week.
Yeah, it's a template that I've worked with for a long time, and only because I just find that it works for me to pigeonhole music maybe into those kind of, into how you might be feeling at a particular stage of the week. I just don't know. I just think it sounds very abrasive to hear banging techno on a Monday. But it sounds much less abrasive on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember years ago, after John Peel passed away, I remember listening to that. They had a couple of different presenters filling in for him, and I think there was three different people in the slot. And I remember one night, I can't remember which DJ, but he was playing something. He was trying to, the way he put the show together, he was playing something really folky by James Yorkson, and it was very chill and ethereal and bucolic. And then he played something banging, and even his mood, he went going, okay, we listened to something chill there, now we're going to listen to something absolutely banging. I said I could not listen to a radio show that's like that, and only John Peel would have been able to do it. So for me, it just makes easier to categorize the vibe into laid back Monday, Tuesday, and more of the beats towards the weekend. Yeah.
And in terms of like doing this show for so long, how have you managed it? Like you said, like so many people have, like, especially a job in radio is like people get fired from radio like very suddenly sometimes. And, you know, what is it you think you're doing that manages to keep on for 25 years?
Well, I guess that it's my employers have been very understanding and patient with me over the years. So a lot comes from that. It probably, would it have survived on a different station? Maybe not. Maybe in a more cutthroat environment where listening figures and stuff would have been analyzed to death and there would be more commercial interests. Let's say, I don't know, for instance, on 2FM, I probably wouldn't have lasted that long. There tends to be an appetite for change on those stations as well. New managers come in and change the schedule around. So,
yeah. And what about you in terms of your music listening since you started doing that show? Like, I mean, how much has your taste changed in those 25 years?
Yeah, well, I mean, it changes with the time. Some things stay permanent. Obviously, like a lot of the stuff, like for example, the first week I started broadcasting, Nightmares on Wax, Carb Boots, Soul came out. So I would have been drawing heavily from that for the first couple of weeks, first couple of months. And, you know, to me now, the beats on that sound very dated. If I heard a track playing in the background in a restaurant off some Spotify list, I'd nod my head appreciatingly in terms of nostalgia. But so yeah, I wouldn't really be into the kind of the chill out stuff that I was playing back then. That's just one example. So tastes do change. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been DJing for like that whole amount of time as well. Did you start before you had the show, or you were doing it since then? Or?
No, I was DJing since I was about 15.
Right. Yeah.
So a little bit
before. Oh, we had this chat before. Yeah. Yeah. About, yeah. Your tapes and stuff.
Yeah. 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 I used to do school discos, but I used to have to do them on tape. So what,
yeah.
And I think I only had one tape recorder. So what I used to do was record three or four tracks at home, yeah, slice them up back to back. So I go, so then at the school disco, I'd go, okay, maybe now I'd play Tune Limited and a couple of bangers like that. Oh, now it's time for the slow set. So I just changed the tape around, talk on the mic, I think, while I was changing the tape. So whatever four tracks were in that little section, they had to put up with them for the next. I wasn't playing like one track for followed by another.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you did a piece for me actually in 2017 about the your tapes and your extensive catalogs as well.
Oh yes.
Nerdy
catalogs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the nerd part of it is how much do you think being a nerd in about music is like essential to running a successful radio show?
I think it's essential to having a long career in music. I think most of the people who stuck around a long time in the music world for me would be people I would consider nerds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of, is it the same process then? Like same for like, we were talking before about, you know, picking music for DJing and playlists and stuff like that. It's like categorization and all that kind of thing is so important in terms of like figuring out what you want to play. And it's the same with the show. I've been sure like what is your approach to say last night's show? What do you do? Where do you start? Where does that show begin?
I guess the promo inbox is the first place. So you know what promo inboxes are like. Back in 90, yeah. I think the big difference between 99 and now is back in 99, I would have been begging labels to send me promos, which would have been on vinyl and on CD. And by begging, I mean like I would have been regularly having to send them playlists and having to convince them that there was validity to sending me the records and the CDs. Whereas now in, fast forward 25 years later and everything's digital and I'm begging people not to send me too much music. And it's, I can't believe if my younger self heard me complain about getting too much music, but I'm taking a slight detour, but I'll answer your question. But I was looking at my promo box the other day and I went through it and I deleted about 200 emails based on the descriptions alone of the tracks that I just didn't think I would have time to connect with, you know. So I have I've done a process over the years where I've just cut back from being on too many lists and try and concentrate on the ones that are the most rewarding. So because the show is all about playing new music, I guess the promo inbox is the first place I start. And I think that's the piece that people, that's the reason that people come back to the show, is somebody has to go through, like you do with your playlist, somebody has to go through what's coming in and decide or come to some kind of decision about what's worth listening to. And then, but then there's stuff like, you know, there's Bandcamp, there's other people I know would send me recommendations. I might be out walking or running, or I might actually hear somebody else play a track and go, oh God, I haven't heard that in a while. That fit into this kind of show. And then it's all on it's here on my computer, there's just folders of playlists. And some of them are like, there is one called Kiadeen Wednesday. So last night stuff would be in there. And then I delegate it into subfolders for when I'm doing the show. But once the show starts, then I've got the music and a lot of it is in my head, what might or might not work together. But sometimes you're just listening to a track and you go, oh, I know what's going to come out of that with 10 seconds to go. And so that's where the kind of flow comes in. There's a lot of flow involved in DJing and in DJing on the radio, which is slightly different to playing to dance floor.
Yeah. But I get that. I totally understand that. The Lumo lads are always laughing at me because I'm always doing that. I'm always like pulling a tune down that I have lined up with like 30 seconds to go and then throwing in, frantically scrolling to find another one. I just like have this idea that it's going to work. And I think that comes with like the experience of it. And like, you don't really know sometimes. And like I found myself with that. You're like, what is it that makes you feel like those two tracks are going to fit together? I don't know exactly what it is in the moment. But sometimes you do when you afterwards you're like, oh, maybe they were in the same key. And you're like, your brain recognized that, but you didn't actually, you wouldn't have been able to recognize it in advance. Or, you know, there's something in the sound of it. There's something in the synths or the beats that are like, oh, yeah, that's actually quite close. Or they're very similar BPMs, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's the DJ stuff as well. That's like, that's more of the flow of a DJ set, which obviously you're doing a lot of as well at the moment. Your Disco Donna parties. You've got a couple coming up as well in May.
Yeah, I've got one in Galway on the 4th of May and in Cuba and Hennessy, Dublin on the 31st of May, the last Friday of May. But something you touched on there, I've kind of approached how I DJ in public, in the last public, as in not on the radio, but in clubs or yeah. By accident, probably over the last couple of months, half a year. I used to always be about, okay, let's build things up slowly. Let's stick to this BPM. We won't go over this BPM. You know, it was very, yeah, I suppose BPM based. And recently I just started playing more, a little bit more loosely and from the heart. And
yeah,
I think a lot of it came about from DJing at weddings where I've got a rare insight into what 30 somethings, what records mean the most to them, because that's the kind of age profile that I'm playing for most weekends.
Yeah.
And I've also, I do 5-hour sets and I find out, okay, I can do a hip hop section. I can do an indie bit, or I can creatively mix between all of them, hit the 4-4 stuff, go up to higher BPMs. So recently I just said, God, you know, why don't I just start playing the record that feels right? Like, you know, if imagine you can't mix and you're just playing at a house party and you go, what would be the next song that gets everybody going, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It sounds very basic, but if you break out of that kind of BPM straitjacket.
Yeah, and I think that's something that DJs do a lot of, whether they mean to or not. And I mean, something we talked about a lot in Luma, we're like, try not to get stuck on the BPM, but like you do. You just do. Your brain, like your logical brain is like, well, that's that. So I'll find something in like that. It's the easiest thing to do almost. So you do have to kind of work at that sometimes, or just blow it up and kind of be like, right, and I'm just going to play whatever I want.
But you know, yeah. Sometimes you have to lock in. Like I love locking into, you know, a certain BPM for half an hour. And, you know, especially maybe if it's a small sweaty room, you don't want to get BPMs too high, but you might want to lock something in for a particular vibe for 40, 45 minutes, yeah. So I do both, but there was a gig I did in Hens Teeth last November where I looked back at the playlist and I couldn't get over what, I kept on thinking, oh, this is what I got away with playing, rather than thinking what really happened was this is what connected with pretty much everybody there that night. Yeah. And in my head too, like I've had weird moments DJing over the years where, I don't know if other DJs go through this, but you know, where confidence can be a little bit low. Like I remember not one time, but it happened a couple of times, but where I just convinced myself that everybody in the room didn't want to hear me play. Maybe over something one person have said or did or that I imagined, but I've gotten over that now. But the other thing that has affected me over the years is, what, you know, I'm not a straight house DJ. I'm not a straight techno DJ. If I was, then everybody would pretty much expect to hear what I'm going to be playing, but I kind of play a mix and match. And now I'm rolling with it instead of going through whatever perceptions that I think people have in their head.
Mm. Yeah. I imagine I'm not a DJ, but I can imagine that it can be a bit of a, almost like an identity crisis. Like people expect maybe to hear one thing from you when they come to see you, and then there's a risk of being pigeonholed into, oh, you're the person who plays bangers, or you're the person who plays hip hop, or you're the person who does this or that, or this is always the vibe. And then if you wanted to branch out a little bit, it can be probably, I can imagine a bit scary, like what you were saying, Niall, about like, oh, we'll just stick with this VPN. This feels like the safest option. And
well, yeah,
and
because it
can like, kind of get tied down.
To pull something down and then to like play, oh, whatever. Like if you just decide like, oh, let's play like a Whitney Houston song or whatever. You're like, you know, it's that's like showing your soul in a way. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's easier to follow the template rather than go, no, I want to hear this song, or like here's a random like obscure track that no one knows kind of thing. You're like, but I feel like this will work. And sometimes you have to try that, I think, as well. Like it's very much like, yeah, but it's that bearing of the soul almost is like the hardest thing to do regularly, because you're like, if they don't like this.
I've talked about this before. I can't remember if it was on this podcast or if it was on Juvenalia, but I went to an Annie Mac DJ set, and towards the end of the night, she got on the mic and said, look, at the beginning of this track, you might feel like it's a little bit slow. You might get the temptation to go for a smoke or go to the bar. But if you stick with it, I promise you it's going to be amazing. And everybody in the room, because we have this trust in Annie Mac and we were all there to kind of see her DJ, just sort of decided to stay on board with it and get really into it. And the payoff was amazing. And I've no idea what the track is, and I'd love to find out what it is. But it was just this thing of like, I'd never seen a DJ get on the mic and be like, just stick with me here. I promise you, this is going to be great. And it's not something I'd recommend every DJ do, but with her, it was the right, you know, it was the right time. It was the right thing to do. There was enough trust in the room for her to do that. And I'd just never really seen it done before. And I loved that. It was like, it was so much of her personality in doing that. Relationship.
That's the trust. And I think, Ian, you're one of those people that has the trust for people who know what you do. Like last year, another love story, your DJ set was a lot of crack. Like it was so much fun. You played Joe Dolan at one point, I remember.
It was a Joe Dolan song. It was a cover version by Shrug Life, Danny Carroll's band. But yeah, I was thinking, I just think that's such a riot of a track, like Good Looking Woman. And it's the reason I was thinking about it was Joe Dolan was just from down the road, and I thought, this is the, if I don't play it now, I'm never going to play it in this kind of scenario. And it really it really got Charlie Bones and Oscar, who were DJing after me, were looking at me, what the hell is this, and why didn't I know the words, and where are they going to come out? And Andrew actually that same night, Charlie Bones DJed in that tent quite late, and he used a mic ever so often, and it was only then I realized what an incredible tool it can be. And he used it in exactly the same way as Annie Mac. He said, I remember one stage he just said, okay, I'm gonna slow things down for two or three tracks, bear with me, we're gonna get back to the bangers again, let's just kind of close our eyes and lock into these. And the crowd didn't look like they needed telling. Everybody just had their eyes closed anyway. But
but it's nice to have the nudge in that direction, the kind of the permission that like, oh, this isn't, I'm not signifying the end of a night here. I'm not signifying that things are slowing down. This is just a moment for you to collect yourself, vibe out, whatever it is that you need to do, but stay with the music. And I really admire that. And you're so right that it can be a tool, because I think when we think of DJs getting on the mic, you know, you think of like, and here's a banger from Whitney Houston, or you know, it's that sort of like very old school, like old school wedding DJ sort of thing, which I actually really enjoy.
Giles Peterson, when he used to DJ in Galway in the early 00s, he used to use the mic a lot. But it kind of sounds cooler when you've got a London accent, I guess, than a Boggart accent
for
from
sure.
Kerry.
I know, you've got a comfy voice, come on.
But yeah, I might.
You don't last 25 years without a nice voice, Ian.
It hasn't gone unnoticed, I'm sure. Well, let's talk about the songs that you are bringing today to kind of represent your On Tape Tools show. So you've picked six songs, which, you know, I know, this is very tough, and I really appreciate that, Keen, because I know every time I ask you to do tracks of the year, you're like, oh, I can't just stop at a 10. Sometimes I put in you put in 12 or what, a 13 or something. I was like, all right, I let you at it, it's fine. I love that about it, is like putting a limit on things sometimes is so difficult. But you did send us 13 songs originally for this list, but you've whittled it down to six. So we're going to start with your first choice, which is Chirococo Rot. I never actually said that out loud before. Die Dinge des Lebens. So this is from 1999, I believe. So this is the year your show started. So let's play a bit of this, and then you can discuss with us afterwards why you picked it. So that was a song released in 1999 on CD Slang, a label that are still very much active and doing wonderful things. What's your relationship with this song?
That track, the album, The Amateur View, I think it was called, yeah, was released the day before On Taobh Thuaidh Hill started broadcasting, the 30th of April. Actually, I wasn't aware of that till I looked it up yesterday. I knew, okay, it was the same year or around the same time. And the first couple of years on the show, we were only allowed to play instrumental music or music that didn't have words in English, I guess.
Yeah, so you weren't allowed to play any English language stuff. So
the odd sample came in, as we'll discover in another track in a few moments, which that happened, but yeah, not full songs in English, definitely. So my relationship with that track is it's quite emotional. It does move me every time I hear it, maybe because it reminds me of those early nights on the radio show when I didn't really know what I was doing and feeling my way. But also just because it's a gorgeous piece of music. And I only came to realize in about 3 or 4 years ago that it heavily samples and is pretty much totally rips off, actually, a track by Gigi Mason called Clouds. And I didn't know that at all about the track, even though I'd been playing it for years, playing it to the extent that I would probably say it's the most played track on the show without having any data to back that up.
Okay, yeah. Wow. So you can still learn things about your favorite songs 25 years later, turns out, or 20 plus years later. Yeah. So did that change your relationship with the song at all, or just?
No, not at all. I said, you know, sometimes you hear the cover version before you hear the cover. And I always think it's the first version you hear that moves you is the one that most people connect with.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and
true.
Like that with the Future Head Sounds of Love over Kate Bush. I still think Kate's one is better, but I heard the Future Heads first, and I will always have like
it could
a huge
be right, though, you know.
It.
And this is coming as a massive Kate Bush fan.
Yeah, my partner makes the very bold claim that it's the only cover song that is better than the original, and I was like, well, no, that's not true, but. I mean, there's a case to be made for it. But yeah, I heard that one first. So I have a really special place in my heart for that. And then when I went and heard the original, I was like, yeah, okay, this is also good.
I have that one, a big star song, Blue Moon. There's a cover by I think it's a Swedish artist called Kendall Johansson, who never really did anything around that time. I said it's about 2010. And I remember writing about it at the time on the site and just being absolutely enamored. But I'd never really listened to Big Star, so I just can't really get into Big Star, that song, the version of the song, their original, because I love the cover so much. The cover has so much going on, and it's so like evocative for me, and an artist who never did anything after that. Like, I literally have a 7-inch of this Blue Moon cover. It was a beautiful video of it at the time. And
Niall, you got me into that. You introduced me to that version.
Oh yeah.
And I've actually often played it on ATT over the years. It's stunning. Yeah, it's stunning.
It is.
There's one that I think of when it comes to covers, that there's a lively debate going on in the YouTube comments anytime I look. Is, I don't know who the original is by, but the cover is by Gene Pitney, and it's a track called 24 Sycamore, and it is a powerful song. It's like easily in my top 100 songs of all time. Yeah. I think the original is Australian, but when the consensus, when people argue it out and don't lose the plot, is people are mostly in love with the version they heard first, and the version I heard first was Gene Pitney.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, never thought about that. So yeah, that's from 1999. Now your next track is a very well-known song of the era, very much kind of new jazz, acid jazz kind of vibe, Sandraman. I remember this band as kind of around that time being kind of the go-to kind of Sunday kind of vibe, the maybe chill out kind of vibe as well a little bit. The song is Rose Rouge. Let's have a listen.
I want you to get together.
Obviously, that song is much, much longer than that. It's nearly 7 minutes. And Sandraman, Rose Rouge, very much reminds me of Galway, actually, because my pals went to college in Galway. And I feel like I've seen the CD cover of that album around every house we ever visited around that time. What's your relationship with the song?
I kind of choose this song just as an example of that era before the internet and before music was ubiquitous and available to all on the internet. It used to only be available if a promo copy of something was sent on vinyl to sometimes select DJs. Just a handful of others might be the only people in the country with that record. So in the case of Rose Rouge, the reason I choose it was, I think it came out in 2001. And I'm pretty sure that the first person playing it on radio was Donal Dineen weeks before it came out. And I think I contacted Blue Note and they sent me a copy then. And that's an example too of a track that I was playing that kind of ignored the English lyric thing on RNG about. There is a vocal going through it, but it was a very, very hot record of the time. Like, there, you know, these days we have a lot of bangers, but we don't have that many anthems that cross over into different DJ sets. So something like that was being played eventually when it was made, released all to by house DJs, by what I suppose I would have called, you know, people might call acid jazz DJs, but I don't think that's a fair term. But people used to play in re-raw. Myself included, my brother-in-law, Aaron McMahon as well, who used to cane that record. And yeah, so it's an example of, like, if you wanted to hear that record in 2001, you had to go to a club like Re-Raw or Shake in Galway or 110th Street. Would I have been playing that? Of course I was. Yeah, I was playing that too. Or you would have to turn on the radio there before it came out. There was no other way of hearing it. And then, see, initially, when it did come out, it came out first on vinyl and then on CD. So if you didn't have a record player and you had to turn on the radio to listen to it or wait until it came out on CD or go to your friend's house who had a record player. And I can make a case for a lot of tracks from that era. You know, there was a track like Losing My Edge by LCD Sound System the following year, which we were playing at 110th Street. It was only later on that we realized that, oh yeah, one of the reasons people were coming in was literally to hear that music, that if they didn't have a record player and didn't have that copy on vinyl well before it was available on CD, they had to come to the club to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, that's changed.
Isn't that amazing to think about how much it's changed? You'd have to leave your house to listen to a song.
That's, you just said it, Andrea. You had to leave your house and go somewhere or switch on your radio. Yeah.
Yeah. And just hope or not even text yeah. in, but call or send a letter.
Hover over the playing record button and just be ready for
yeah. Oh God,
wait
yeah.
for the DJ to shut up.
Like, do you remember requests being more obvious then if you were on the radio, or like being very specific for records then? I mean, that, I guess that makes sense. Like when now, like to me now, record, like requests on the radio don't make any sense to me, because like, anyone can listen to any song at any time. So you're like, why are you asking, looking for a request?
Yeah, I find requests bizarre. I was listening the other day to Louise Duffy, who's filling in, she took over Ronan Collins' slot. And she was interviewed as well in the Irish Times recently about this. And people are constantly sending requests. Like, I get it if somebody's sending a request for someone's wedding anniversary or I want to hear a particular track. But if, you know, John in Athlone is ringing up to hear Started Up by the Rolling Stones right here, right now, and she doesn't have it with her today or she's playing something else, leave Louise be. Let her, you know, trust the DJ. John, stick it on. Like, it's everywhere. It's probably in your record collection three times.
Yeah.
And there's a thing called Spotify.
It's a kind of a thing where you want to connect with the radio DJ in a way that says like, oh, I've got similar taste to you, or this would fit in nice in your set. And that could, you know, be a very, you know, entitled way of looking at things. But it could also be like, I want to impress you by suggesting that you play this song that would fit in nicely with all the other things that you're playing. And if it's the Rolling Stones, then, you know, whatever. But if it's something a bit niche, it might be like, see me.
Yeah, maybe if it's you like a single show or a show with a theme or an alternative or an evening show where there is a very identifiable music
kind of connection between,
yeah, or theme,
the
show. Yeah, like, oh, I can get
but
it,
if it's
but
if it's the
daytime
if
radio
it's
you're
people,
like, why are you
yeah
picking?
The people who text in to say like, can you play Dermot Kennedy, I'm like, you don't need to text that, like,
yeah,
they're going to play
it anyway.
It's fine. Like, just wait,
it's
10 minutes
in blood
and you'll
in
hear
my contract.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's, you'll hear him, he'll show up, or Hosey or something. Like, it's like, you know, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
save your text money.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so your next track is from Dead Can't Dance. It is a song that predates your show from 1991. It's called The Song of the Sibyl. Okay, that's Dead Can't Dance, the song of the Sibyl from an album called A Passage in Time. Cian, Dead Can't Dance, tell me more.
Yeah, the reason I choose that track was for the first couple of years on from 1999 to 2006, 2007, there was always another presenter on the show. Because we're on 7 nights a week. I used to do 4. Yeah. Mentioned Ronan McAvoy, who sadly passed away, Siobhan Shearilish. But there was another presenter, and an excellent DJ from West Kerry who also co-presented the show. His name is Ben O'Fallon. And he was a couple of years behind me in school, and we used to, I wrote that piece for you and I a couple of years ago about exchanging tapes on the school bus. Well, he would have been one of the guys I was exchanging tapes with. And I remember there was a particular experience that I, through listening to the radio show I was involved with when I wasn't on air. I can remember the first time hearing Ronan McAvoy presented a couple of nights after I'd presented the first time, and it sounded so fresh. Hearing this, you know, hearing beats on RNG when it was all playing all trad and polka and Shannos during the day. But I remember one night, it was Christmas Eve, and I was in a friend's house, and Orna G was on, and Ben was presenting the show, and he just kind of locked into a Christmas Eve type vibe. And I knew we both knew that track growing up, because 4AD was massive in Dingle, and everybody had all the Cocteau Twins. Not everybody, but a certain amount of us had the Cocteau Twins and This Mortal Coil and Dead Can Dance, some more esoteric stuff on 4AD album. So that track personally reminds me of the summer of 1991, but I kind of picked it out because it's in sung in Catalan as well, I guess, if anyone's wondering what the language is. It just reminds me of listening to the radio show that I've been doing, but hearing another presenter play it. And I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that it wasn't just me who was behind on TF2 Hill, that there were other creative forces involved as well. Yeah.
Mm. It's a beautiful piece. I hadn't heard it before. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's Lisa Gerrard is the singer, wasn't it? Was that her name on 4AD? Yeah. Yeah.
They're from Melbourne, the band, originally. So yeah, I that's a band I'd never really listened to. I've heard the name a lot over the years, but yeah, not one I'd ever really
And Andrea,
listened to.
One of the other reasons, actually, Andrea, I choose it is because, you know, On TF2 Hill is generally about new music or contemporary music or stuff that's just about to come out. But I've always thought over the years that it's important to play maybe unfamiliar stuff that I would know quite intimately, but maybe not everybody would. I had an argument with a friend of mine about this recently. Well, a discussion, let's say, and he said, "Why did you have the Jesus Mary Chain on your show? Everybody knows them." And I was going, "I don't think everybody does. Like, you know, years have passed, and there's going to be somebody listening tonight that's going to hear that for the first time." Or it happened recently with an Irish indie band who I played one of their tracks, and I followed it with a recent enough ride track, like something from the last 6 years, and they hadn't heard the recent ride track before and loved the context that it was placed in. So I think it's always important, and I choose that track, that the playlists aren't necessarily just about new music. It's about discovering music from all eras, all generations, and sharing them with people who might not have heard them yet.
Yeah, because just because something is, when something is new to you, it doesn't matter if it's something that came out last week or if it's something that came out 20 years ago. If it's new to you, you get that feeling of discovery and excitement. And if it's an older song, it's kind of even better because you've got a back catalogue to look at, or you might have an album to look at. So, yeah, no, I definitely agree with the importance of that. It's a kind of a, not education, but like it's a way of introducing more context to the newer stuff that you are playing, and kind of showing your hand in terms of the influences that you have in terms of your choices as well, which is really nice when you hear kind of older stuff being played.
I love picking the older stuff for it for the podcast once a month, because it just allows you to, for me personally, and because like yourself, when you're accessing new music all the time, it's nice to just go, hey, this is really nice and it's old and it has like, you know, it's emotion. There's an emotion attached to it. There's a personal connection attached to it. Often there's, you know, reaching back into that maybe personal connection that a lot of people who stop listening to new music have is like, oh, I loved this when I was younger. Like, it's very satisfying to go and like do that and kind of like pick out a song from your past and place it in a current context. And it still sounded good. And I love the way, you know, trying to do that with playlists and stuff like that, where you're just like, okay, well, this works because maybe, you know, it, like I heard it in a TV show, or maybe I heard it out DJing, or maybe something about a song reminded me of that old song. And like you said, that's the context in which, you know, a radio DJ can, and someone like yourself, Gene, can really bring that into a show. Like, it's a tapestry of music. It's not just about, like, you know, here's the brand new stuff. That's all you want now, all the time. It's nice to do that. So will we pick your next one? It is a Canadian producer called Fairmont, a track called Gazebo, the Sebastian Leisure remix. Here we go. We'll be right back. So this is more recent song, 2016, I think it is. So
no, it's a bit older than that.
Is it?
I can't put a year in it, but it's definitely goes back to maybe 04, 05, 06, sometime around then.
Oh, 2006, sorry. Okay. It says here, sorry, yeah, 2006. Yeah, originally came out in vinyl in 2006.
And that's actually the point I picked it. You just said it there. It originally came out on vinyl in 2006, vinyl being the operative word. Okay, so the reason I picked that record is, well, the first time I actually heard it being played was Johnny from Optimo dropped it at 110th Street in the Vic. And immediately that riff just got seared into our brains. And Johnny's always great. He will always tell you what the record is. He's not protective at all, like some DJs might be about their sources. Yeah. And it was still an era where, the internet hadn't exploded as much as a source for sharing music and discovering music. So you were dependent again on radio shows, DJ sets and all that. So around about then, I was presenting the show in Cosla in Connemara, and I had two very primitive CD players that are still there that hardly work now. And I also had a Technics, two record players. Yeah, one was a Technics and the other one was some kind of belt drive thing that you couldn't manipulate the tempo on. So for my dance shows back around then, 2006, 2007, I would have to play, to mix two tracks together, I would have to play track one off a CD, and track two would be off my Technics, which I could mix and manipulate the tempo to make them fit, to keep the groove going. So up to that point, I guess, and I was buying a lot of vinyl and being sent quite a lot of vinyl, but that's was maybe changing over to digital around then. But I still would buy, like, you know, I still send a sizable amount of money on buying mostly dance music that would be playing in clubs on vinyl. But I knew by then as well that I needed to keep the flow of the dance shows going, that I needed to get a CDJ. So I had to get the begging bowl out to Radio Na Gaeltachta and ask for a CDJ. And it took ages and ages before I got it. I remember the technician who's no longer there, he kept on telling me, it's coming, it's coming. And then I just remember the magical day when he said, I've got it in Paul. So there were his exact words. So I used to have to, just towards the end of that, I wasn't buying as much vinyl. So I think I ended up playing that record a lot on those dance shows just to bridge the gap before I could play the next track on CD. Yeah. And bridge the gap is an unfortunate term, but it kind of almost became filling in space, because I was playing like brand new music on CD1, and on CD2 I was playing releases, or sorry, on vinyl 2. The next track coming is playing releases from the last couple of years, and Sebastian Leger's remix of Gazebo got played a lot.
Well, I mean, it's like some DJs have their toilet track. This was your transition track, maybe, as opposed to...
I have a great transition track. People laugh at the story. And I know you did a special on Alfredo, and you might have read that one of his tracks was the Pink Panther theme.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a story behind that. I remember years ago being, when I was in college in the 90s, having to do a massive gig in Leisureland in Salt Hill. But it was for, I don't know, some coming together of clubs from around the country. And when I asked for two CD players, but when I rocked up, there was one CD player and one record player, I think. And I was one CD player and a tape. And I had to go off and get a tape. And the only track that I had was the Pink Panther on that tape. So I was playing a track off the CD. And then while I was waiting for the CD to eject, I'd stick on a bit of the Pink Panther. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said, just to fill the air, to the space, he really goes, that's a like I thought it was the most cringiest thing, but he said, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. You have a signature tune and you play it like a little bit of it every now and then before you play the next one.
I would be that guy. Like if I heard like the Pink Panther tune as like a toilet tune, did you say, Niall, that someone else played, like that is the thing that gets me back onto the dance floor. That's where I am. That would make me so happy if I heard that out and about.
Speaking of toilet tunes, I think I've heard from some of the ladies who play in the Workman's Club. Is it the Workman's Club that they actually take so long to get to the toilets, or that there's so little toilets, can't remember the story, that they have to ring one of their friends to come in and play. And they'll do it if they're passing by. They'll come in and play two or three records back to back before.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Get those women a nearby toilet immediately.
It's the nightmare, isn't it? Like, I do a gig as well where there's one toilet in the venue, so it's quicker for me to go outside. And
I once did a corporate gig, which I didn't really want to do, which was, it was in Cork somewhere, and I know exactly where it is, so I'm not going to dob them all in it. But it was, I was kind of brought in to do the after thing, and it was in a ballroom, and like, there was no atmosphere, and everyone was really drunk, and people were, you know, it was one of those gigs where people were just shouting at me and like giving out, and I was like, this sucks. Hate this. Yeah, the hostility was very strong, and I was like, I really have to go to the toilet. And I was like, could you, I said it to a guy that was with me. He was like, can you just keep an eye on that for a second? He didn't. And what happened was, when I came out, like, I ran in for a pee and ran it. It wasn't far. Like, it was just over there. It was over this side of the room. And I did it as fast as I could, washed my hands, came back out. And then all I could see was the two people that were negging me the whole night up behind the decks, about to play on something. I was like, what are you doing? It was like, they stopped the tune. I think it was like Prince or something. It was like, come on. They just wanted something else, and they were actually changing the tune, and no one had stopped them. I was like, oh,
that, no, that's the height of rudeness.
That's terrifying.
It's awful. It happened to me at a wedding two or three summers ago, where there was a very well-known figure on the Dublin dance scene was in. He was incredibly locked and begging me all night to be playing kind of just weird dubstepy type bangers in a wedding scenario. But what happened was I had a feeling he was going to jump behind the decks as soon as I went to the toilet. So I didn't really go to the toilet all night, but I did towards the end. And I think there was some kind of power ballad on, like Total Eclipse of the Heart or something. So as I walked towards the bathroom, I saw him going in behind the decks and stick the CDJ mode from, I think I was in CDJ mode, into vinyl. And he did a rewind. I can't remember what he lined up next, but he literally just took over the decks. And it doesn't happen that often. Actually, the worst thing that
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I think that was involved too. Yeah,
but like I'm not a DJ, but to me that sounds like somebody, like, you put your guitar down in between songs and then somebody else comes up and takes up your guitar and starts playing some tunes. Like, that that feels so rude. That's crazy.
At a wedding as well. So I was playing the track specifically for the bride, you know?
Yeah. Oh, unless it's your wedding, you can't be doing that. Like, that's,
Even then, you can't be doing that.
Anyway.
But you know, also that whole thing about, like, I think when I was younger, I used to be out and I'd get it into my head that I wanted to hear a particular tune, and I'd know the DJ and I'd maybe badger them about it for a while. I cringe about it now, because I my whole thing now is just roll with the vibe, with whoever's playing, enjoy what they're playing. And even if you don't actually like what they're playing, you're going to learn something that you're going to bring with you into your next set.
Yeah. Mm. The other thing that is that's happened a number of times, and it seems very common, are the people who want to do the rewind thing, who from the front of the desk, they're like, keep putting their hand in, and you're like, stop. Stop. I mean, so many times they're just these cheeky bastards who are like, I am going to do this. And you're like, no, you're not. Don't fucking do that.
I want to give a shout out to the worst thing that ever happened to me DJing, because I don't think I've ever mentioned this in a public forum before. But years ago, I was playing in a venue in Galway that used to be a kind of bar earlier in the evening and turned into a club as the night went on. And there was a girl in asking me for Dead or Alive, You Spin Me Around, which I adore, but it's high energy. Yeah. And it was still, the volume was low and it was bar tempo. She came up and asked me a couple of times. I said, look, I will play it and I'll definitely play it later on, because I'm a big fan of the track anyway. But she decided as she was leaving that she was going to make her feelings known, but she did it in a very physical way. When I didn't see her coming up, my head was down, and she came straight up towards me, grabbed a clump of my hair and lifted my hair. Actually, I've never felt my scalp lift before, and actually,
oh god,
I feel it. I was assaulted, so to speak.
Yeah.
I was so much in shock. I don't know, if it was a guy, I would have probably reflexively punched him or something, you know. But she ran out of the venue and didn't get a chance to tell the security about it. But Anytime I think of that story, I can still feel that sore part of my scalp.
I'm sure every time you put your head down to do something at the Texas, you're like, God, that's horrendous. Jesus, that is absolutely assault.
Yeah, like, it is assault, yeah, I guess.
That's God crazy. Almighty.
Different times, get away with stuff.
Don't do that, people. Yeah, don't, do that.
Okay, back to the music. Your fifth choice is an Irish artist from an artist called Loner Deluxe. The song is called Viral Hit from 2021. So, Keen, that's a more recent song from a Mayo artist called Keith Galway. Wallace. Sorry. This album was recorded in Mayo, so he's a Galway artist, yeah.
Yeah, well, full disclosure, the last two choices are, they're actually friends of mine. I went to college with Keith. We used to present a radio show together on early Flirt FM, late Radio Sock. We used to describe the music we played as proto dodgy beard music. Neither of us could exactly tell you what that meant, but we thought we were cool. No, Keith has a label called Rusted Rail. He's based in Galway. He's been releasing music for years and releasing other people's music for years. The reason I picked that particular track is it was released on the 15th of March 2020, and the track is called Viral Hit, and it's about the onslaught of COVID. I mean, you heard the lines there, hibernation in the spring, lots of social distancing, we're in lockdown and shut in. Is this really happening? So like his partner may have been involved, Cecilia, in writing that as well, but she's singing on it. That track for me absolutely nails the anxiety and uncertainty and fear we were going through at that time. Particularly because, you know, it was before that preceded Leo Varadkar's St. Patrick's Day speech. And, you know, there was a lot of tracks written about COVID and lockdown albums, etc. since. But I think that one is the definitive track that nails the mood of that time and certainly those couple of weeks. And don't forget, like, we were like, people were very panicked at that stage. Like, we were wondering, like, it went from like, are we going to run out of toilet paper too? Are we going to have some kind of societal collapse?
Yeah, I think like that early bit of COVID is the bit that is easily forgotten. The first few weeks and the very particular panic that we had during that, because we didn't know what it was. We didn't know, for example, if children could get it. I remember that being like a really big thing that myself and other people were worrying about. And we didn't, like, should we be touching things? And it was sort of before we got any guidance, there was this, we all kind of felt a little bit out there and a bit vulnerable, having not yet been sort of like guided towards best practices and so on. And I think this song, I'm not someone who listens to lockdown songs, particularly songs about lockdown or about COVID at all, just because I got into the habit of ignoring it entirely, with the exception of Bo Burnham's piece that he put out on Netflix. I listened to nothing about it because I just didn't want to. But listening to this today before we started recording, it really brought me back to that, like, that time where we really knew nothing. There was no talk of vaccines. We weren't even talking about masks yet. It was, it was everything so up in the air. And it's, yeah, you're right. It really kind of captures that early time where we were all just, you know, completely in the dark as to what was about to happen.
I also picked, yeah, you're right, Andrea. I also picked it because of like a huge change that happened to my broadcasting at that point was I had spent the previous 21 years broadcasting almost entirely from Cosla in Connemara. And a couple of weeks before that track came out, before even lockdowns had happened and stuff, I was in close contact with somebody who had COVID, and I got a phone call from the HSC to say, yeah, maybe stay at home for a while. So I remember ringing work and going, I don't think I have any, I don't feel sick or anything, but I've been told to be careful. And they RT still hadn't any guidelines drawn up. And they said, oh, hang on a minute, don't come out, we'll call you back. And they called me back about an hour or two later after having a meeting. And they said, can you do the show from home? And I said, oh, let me see if I can figure it out. So I started broadcasting from home straight away after that. And I mean, the early stage, I kept doing it the exact same way I used to be doing it at work, except I had two CDJs and a mic, but and a record player as well. But eventually I moved everything over to a digital setup. And rather than talking about the technical specifications of all that, the biggest thing that happened to me was, you know, in the following weeks, I ended up being on my own. My true love couldn't be with me. She was looking after her mother. So I was spending a lot of time on my own in the house. But I reconnected with music in a way that was so emotionally intense that I hadn't experienced since I was a teenager. And, you know, I was laughing, I was crying, I was listening to Unknown Pleasures and convinced myself that the album was about the plague. I remember listening to some Rye track back then going, oh God, that sounds very, that could be about COVID as well. And also then I was listening to like stuff like Italo and disco and dancing around in joy and crying going, oh God, are we actually going to ever dance again? Like, is this really going to go on forever? Like, and I started getting very nostalgic for it and delighted that I had experienced the days that we had out dancing. So yeah, so music during the COVID era, yeah, locked into my very being in a way it hadn't in a long, long time. And that's not to take away from
the same thing, the convincing yourself that songs that were written long before the scenario. I remember listening to a Bright Eyes song, first song on I'm Wide Awake It's Morning, I think, and I was like, oh, this is about what's happening right now, and it's about what's going to happen when we go back outside. And I was just so emotional. Like I was listening to music as though I was listening to old albums that I'd listened to thousands of times, in a way that it was like I was hearing them for the first time, or it was like I was really hearing them for the first time. I was really hearing the lyrics for the first time. And same thing, times when I'd just be dancing in my bedroom on my own, just thinking, and I wasn't a big going out person before, and I'm certainly not now, but just thinking like, oh, I liked having the option, you know, I liked having the chance to do it. And I also turned 30 during COVID as well, during one of the lockdowns. And I was like, well, that's my 20s gone. I'll never dance again. And just all these like mad feelings that like music kind of brings out in you. And it was like, I don't know how for people like ourselves and like, you know, many, many other people for whom music is a great comfort. I don't know what we would have done without it during that period of time. You know, the sort of, there's only so many films I could watch. There was only so many other things I could pay attention to. Whereas music, I just didn't have to. It was just like, it was like a blanket or something. I don't know what I would have done without being able to dig through. And as well, if this had happened to us at a time where I only owned 12 CDs,
yeah,
which there was a time in my life that there was, you know, that like that period of time made me very, very grateful for streaming and very grateful for YouTube and the accessibility of music, because I discovered so much during that time. And myself and Niall, I remember our first podcast that we both did from home, because you still had the office at that time. So
yeah.
I'd come to you every Wednesday after work and we'd record. And then there was the first week we were trying to figure out what was going on. I was recording on a little headset that had a mic on it, and it was a sort of a weird giddy mood we were in, because we were like, oh, this is new, but also it's scary. And yeah, it was very, very strange time. And we've stayed recording remotely ever since. We quite like it this way, but for many other people, I'm sure, you know, especially if you're presenting a radio show, having your stuff, having your space, having everything that you need in front of you is important. But yeah, that time. And
you were one of the first to work from home, really.
Yeah.
Out of necessity.
You're talking to me, yeah, is like it? The, or to Andrea?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of complete necessity, yeah. Yeah, maybe a pioneer of the genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, your last track then is, you mentioned your other pal, Noah. This is an artist that I've written about over the years. His name was Mike Small. The song is called Peggy Saturday. So yeah, Mike Small was in Kane 141. He did release music under Augustus and John, one of his collaborative projects. Bring Your Own Hammer, most recently. So yeah, a Galway artist that's been doing it. B-Movie Lightning as well, Kane. So you've been playing probably Mike's music since the start, presumably.
Yeah, I mean, Mike's a friend of mine now, and we're very close. But back, I knew of Kane 141 through the 90s as just this kind of extra special cult Galway band who were well known on the international circuit. Like, they would have been written about in the Enemy, supporting some of the British big acts at the time. They were big in certain countries, like, I can't remember, is it Germany, Spain, maybe, did John Peel sessions. And, you know, they were, you know, there's a lot of bands who had bigger profiles that never quite attained the next level of maybe getting more profile. But someone like Mike would have just dusted off and started again. And he's got this, you know, we talk about record collector rock. Mike listens to music incessantly, and he's got a huge hunger for new music. And he's one of the few people I know who could probably do my radio show of my own age that would do it as well, if not maybe better than I would, if Mike spoke Irish. But I picked that song because, well, specifically because Mike has written so many great pop songs over the last 20 years that you're aware of, Niall, but maybe just the general public mightn't have heard. One of them is that song Peggy Saturday, which was written in the last couple of years. Features field recordings from Merlin Park Woods around the corner from here, where I live. But he wrote a track under the name BBV Lightning Triple Trouble, which is one of the best pop songs I've heard coming out of this country in the last 20 years. You just don't hear people talking about it. And if Mike was a friend of mine who was making mediocre music, I wouldn't be talking about him right now. Yeah. But the reason I bring him up is there are a lot of other Mike Small types around the world who, and they tell me this when they get in touch, is they go, thanks so much for playing my music, because you're the only other person playing me. Or I get, you know, people, an Irish artist was in touch with me recently who you've covered as well, but he said, I came back to him and said, I'm so glad, I love your new album. It's actually one of the best things you've done. It could have been his eighth album or something. And he said, yeah, I'm despondent and I'm not bitching or anything. He said, but you're the only person who's picked up on it again. And yeah. So there's a lot of people in the kind of ATT creative universe, because I'm just a curator, making music that isn't being discovered or isn't reaching an audience who would definitely appreciate it. And I think the role of the radio show is just to persist and keep playing the stuff. And maybe posthumously, maybe even after, you know, in the event of my, when I die, that the archive of the show will hopefully be put up online somewhere. As it is at the moment, you can listen to any show from 2013 onwards on the ORT website, which is amazing. And look at the playlist. So I'm kind of hoping that people like Mike Small and the artists who I didn't mention his name, but I won't say who it is, or someone like Colleen, who is based in Barcelona, who's French, who is also very thankful for the coverage I've given over the years. Not that I'm doing it to get thanks, I'm doing it because I love their music.
Yeah.
Well, as someone who didn't know Mike Small before listening through these tracks beforehand, thank you very much for adding this, because when I got this, is the last one that was on the little playlist I made of the songs to listen to, and I got to this and I was like, whoo, what is this? It's really beautiful pop music. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous track, and I'm completely unfamiliar with him, so gained a new fan in me today.
Well, there's quite a lot of Mike Small music for you to listen to, I have to say. There's
excellent.
Loads.
It's so amazing. Good. This is the thing. This is what you want to hear. Like, this is the exciting feeling of having a back catalogue to go through now. So that's great. Yeah. That's great news.
So, Cian, your reflection in a way of your 25th anniversary, marking it on air, is Monday 29th of April to Friday 3rd of May. And like you said, you'll be featuring some exclusive new music, some unreleased and unheard music from people like Colleen and TR1 and Peter Gordon and Mel Joanne is another one as well. Hardway Brothers as well. So you've got things to share that no one's ever heard before. So that'll be a nice old thing to do. So that'll be your big celebration. And then your Disco Donna party is happening, one in Galway on the 4th of May in Cuba, which is reopened. So
yes, great news for Galway.
Have you been in?
I have actually. And I mean, all these venues have just recently reopened in Galway, and I wasn't actively seeking gigs. My feeling about it was, let the kids in and play for the kids. But Cuba actually asked me to come in and have a look at the place, and I could not get over it. They've put in an incredible function, one that you'd see at a kind of medium-sized tented electric picnic, to a small, narrow room that'll comfortably fit about 200 people. So,
oh, that's great.
And it's a dark space, and it's a space where there isn't a room to or somewhere else for people to go. So I love the idea of gonna go in there and play for 4.5 to 5 hours. People can't get away. There's nothing like the all-night DJ set. Like, you're stuck with me, I'm stuck with you.
let's make the best of this together.
Make it all.
You don't smoke anymore. You're not going out to the smoking area.
Yeah.
You're staying here, and we're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And your other Disco Donna will be, because you weren't able to make it last time, but Friday, 31st of May,
Hensteeth.
At Hen's Teeth. So looking forward to be able to make and coming down and seeing you, actually. That'll be really great. So looking forward to that, because we were having a baby in November and you weren't at the last one yourself. Graham stepped in for you, I think. So that was good. So yeah, you get to do your Disco Donna party again. So that's great. And we're looking forward to that. So yeah, Cian, great to chat to you always. And your love of music is always very palpable. And you can tell from a man doing 25 years of a radio show, he still loves music, and that's the way you should be. And that's, we'd all aspire to do that. So thanks, Cian.
Thank you so much.
And Cian, congratulations on 25 years of your show.
Gurev Mila Mahagif. A pleasure to be on this podcast.
Great.
Got you through. Abandon all your soul within again. How they all want.
thanks to Kina Kuivan for the chat. Really nice to be able to spend time with his music choices and his music brain. And yeah, he's an institution, like we said, isn't he?
Yeah. So, it was a great chat. I really enjoyed it.
He's one of the good guys. So yeah, that's good. He's a champion. He's a champion of new music, and I think there's always so much to discover there. And fair play to him for getting to 25 years of a radio show. Like we said, radio presenters can be thrown discarded within a day because of the nature of the work. They're always seeking the new thing, but Keane has just stayed persistent and continues to do that, do his show, and continues to gain plaudits around the world for what he's doing, and like people tune in from all over. So yeah, that's Keane O'Quivon stuff. So yeah, all the show notes feature all the links and stuff and things that we've mentioned. What else is going on, Andrea? We are doing our listening party next week. So last few tickets available for that. That is the Fiona Apple listening party. We did an episode last week about Tidal, the 1996 album, debut album from the then 18-year-old singer-songwriter. Thank you all for the good feedback, and really appreciate you listening. So yeah, we've a few more tickets left for that. That's The Big Romance, Wednesday, 24th of April. We'll be playing the album in full on vinyl. I have had COVID for the last week, so I'm really looking forward to going out again.
Yes.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pain in the balls. I absolutely hated it. So yeah, can't wait to go out again. We will listen again. We will enjoy ourselves in the future. Can't wait. Anyway, some of that chat about Keane about the COVID stuff, I just was like, I can't talk about it now. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I know that's our problem. We all have the, like, you know, the interrogation of that time is quite tough, I think, a lot of times.
Yeah, but also, you know, as you are you know, a prime example of that time is not over. And
no, I've been isolating, we still need to be careful in this office essentially for 5 days.
Yeah. And wearing masks is still a very good idea, and there are still people who are extremely vulnerable. So, you know, isolate, do as Niall does.
Yeah.
Isolate, test regularly, all of these things still very important for us to be doing.
They are.
Yes.
Or
the more vulnerable people in our community, especially.
I'm looking forward to going out again and being in the world. So being engaged in the world. So that's it from us this week. We'll be back next week with, I don't know what, we might have a chat about Grimes and Coachella or whatever. We've kind of already had that without you having a listen to it, Larita. We were having a chat privately about that. So, but yeah, it's mad. Coachella's on again next week, or this weekend. So
yeah. I'm kind of over the discourse.
Yeah.
And we've got another
week. But I think
that
happened last year. Like, it was the Frank Ocean thing last year. Can you believe that was last year?
Yes, true.
And then,
yeah,
like, you didn't really hear anything about Week 2. Like,
yes.
It's just like, you know, all the headlines about Blur this week won't be repeated next week. Maybe because they won't play.
No.
Who knows? Hard to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll find
out. We'll see next week.
We'll see what we're chatting about next week. Yeah, that is it from the 99 Podcast. Thanks again to Georgia Hallian for editing the podcast this week.
Thank you, Georgia.
Thanks to you. Patreon.com/99. Thanks for your support. Bye.
Thanks, Patreon. Bye. Get lost in now. Bye.